The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day that he has given us that we may come together to receive his gifts. Just a couple of notes to highlight today. First and third Saturdays are our church cleanup days. Most of the time we spend some time here, sometimes a little bit of work over at the parsonage, all depending on how many people that we get. And so it isn't always mowing the grass, trimming the shrubs, and all that kind of stuff too. We have so many projects going on and so many things that need to be done that whoever shows up, we can find you something to do. Even if it's as simple as cleaning out a file cabinet or something like that, there's plenty of stuff going on. So if you are free on a Saturday morning, 8:30 to 11:30 is typically our time, feel free to come and join us for a little bit of cleanup time, and we will knock out that list of projects as we go. Wednesday afternoon, this is one of those not on the calendar sort of things. We're going to have some fun at the parsonage. This is the put in some new irrigation lines party. You're welcome. If you're free Wednesday afternoon from 1 on or so, we're going to do that so we can finally make it look presentable out front so it doesn't look like a disaster area anymore. So if you're free Wednesday afternoon, feel free to stop by and join in the fun over there. Immediately following the service, a Hangout Advisory Board meeting. Fran is going to lead us we're looking at a mission statement for the Hangout and kind of what are we going to do? What is the point of the Hangout? How are we going to serve those around us? And what are the opportunities that we have to serve the young people of primarily NU, but also those in the wider community that we may come in contact with? Again, haven't heard for sure, but the plan is after fall break, back to in-person instruction. So end of October, we may be able to start doing something. So we're going to try and iron out some of the wrinkles on that and see where we go. Immediately after church, anybody who is at all interested, if you just want to have some input, hang around for that. In our prayers today, we remember those that are in the grace notes as well as those that we have been remembering, especially with fires and all of those things. The service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again, about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. With Holy Scripture, context is everything. So looking at a piece of a gospel or clipping single verses out clouds the wider thematic elements that Jesus or the gospel writer are trying to teach. There's also the problem sometimes of an unclear translation of the text, which we have today. But the words before us appear to be about an employer that you'd love to have. Because even if you only work for him for 1 hour, you still get a full day's wage. I mean, you can't beat that. But things turn sinister as those who had worked for him all day don't get what they think they deserve. Or do they? These words, and much of this chunk of St. Matthew, is aimed at the 12 disciples, Jesus' called and ordained pastors. But the fact that this text is aimed primarily at the clergy doesn't mean they don't also apply to the average Christian. They do, especially once you see where Jesus is going and who the last and the first are today. So it's harvest time. Already back in chapter 9, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So the master of the house goes into town to find workers to help with his bumper crop. He negotiates the standard wage, a denarius, for the first group. For all the rest, save the very last ones, the text says that he will pay whatever is right. Close, but no cigar. Jesus says he will pay whatever is dikaios, whatever is just. It's the root word for justification and righteousness. He will pay them what is just and righteous. So everything you needed to live on for a day can be bought with a denarius. And so they all get to work, regardless of the start time. And when evening came, Jesus says, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." The day is over. The night has come when no one can work, and accounts are about to be settled. Of course, when those who had worked so hard for so long saw that the stragglers were paid a denarius, a full day's wage, everything they would need to live for the day, they get all excited. "Surely, if these bums get a full day's wage, we'll get even more. Look how much more we accomplished. He'll certainly reward us with even more than he gave them." There's a little bit of James and John's mother in their tone. You remember the sons of Zebedee. Mom comes up to Jesus and says, "Let them sit at your right and your left when you come into your kingdom. You know, because they're such good boys and they do such good work. Give them something special so Mama can be proud." But the full day workers have their early retirement dreams crushed when all that's dropped into their hands is a denarius, exactly what they need to live for a day. They might have missed a key word or two when they signed their contracts. The master of the house said, "Whatever is right, I will give you." He will give them what is just, what is righteous. He will give them justification and righteousness. He will give them everything they need to live. And since it is Jesus doing the giving, it isn't just giving everything needed to live for a day, but he will give you everything needed to live forever. But right on cue, you know what happens. The grumbling starts. Really? We get what they get? Even though we did so much more? How is it that they deserve what we worked for? How is it that the ones who squeak in on their deathbeds get what we worked so hard for all our lives? That's the classic Christian complaint, right? They had all the fun lazing about while we were busy busting our humps for Jesus. Is that how you really feel? But what does Jesus say? Whatever is right, I will give you. He gives. He doesn't pay what is due. He gives what he wants to give. Then there's this line, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong." But that's the same word as earlier, dikaios. Friend, I am not treating you unjustly. I am not unjustifying you. I am not making you unjust or unrighteous with what I give you. And that's followed up by that odd line, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" Which might sound better, but is nowhere near the original's, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" In other words, are you jealous because I see everyone as equal? Because I give my justification and my righteousness equally? Do you give them the evil eye because of my goodness? Are you better than everyone else because of your longer work history with me? Do you think you deserve more than what you need to live? And that's where Jesus is going. You think you deserve more because you don't understand what I'm giving you. Because in reality, if Jesus were to give you what you deserve, you wouldn't like it at all. Because all the sinner deserves is eternity in hell for a sin. You haven't earned anything from God your Father, even by living your whole life in the church. Or the whole day in the vineyard, to extend the simile. So Jesus asks you, why are you trying to earn more than everything? Everything has already been given to you. And that's what the master of the house did. He gave to every worker what was needed to live. That's what Jesus did. He gave what is needed to live forever to each of you. You can't earn more than everything. How can you earn more than forever when forever has already been given to you? Can't do it. And that's what explains the last being first and the first last. You've got to go a little bit farther into chapter 20 to see it, though. Because in the very next verses, Jesus predicts his death, his trip to the cross, bearing your sins to his death for your salvation. The firstborn of creation, the very Son of God, takes up the sins of every last person on earth and dies with the shame of those sins on his shoulders. The shame of your sins on his shoulders. And so the first, Jesus, is made to be last, so that the last, the sinner, may be made first. In Christ's cross, you are made first. You receive what Jesus has to give, his life, his forgiveness, and his salvation. You have been given all of these things. You didn't earn them. You can't earn them. As with everything from God our Father, they are gift, they are grace, and they are freely given for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.